Let us now read from the Gospel according to Mark chapter 10, the verses 35 through 45. James and John, Zebedee's sons, came up to him. "Teacher, we have something we want you to do for us."
"What is it?"
"I'll see what I can do." "Arrange it," they said, "so that we will be awarded the highest places of honor in your glory. One of us at your right, the other at your left." Jesus said, "You have no idea what you're asking. Are you capable of drinking the cup I drink? Of being baptized in the baptism I'm about to be plunged into?" "Sure," they said, "why not?" Jesus said, "Come to think of it, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized in my baptism. But as to awarding places of honor, that's not my business. There are other arrangements for that." And when the other 10 heard of this conversation, they lost their tempers with James and John. Jesus got them together to settle things down. "You've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around," he said. "And when people get a little power, how quickly it goes to their heads. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served, and then to give away his life in exchange for many who are held hostage." Here ends our scripture reading. May we all sense God's presence as we seek to understand scripture this morning. This reading takes us right into the inner circle of Christ, and it reveals some intimate detail of how they misunderstood, argued, and failed to understand who Jesus really was. Obviously, there was a huge communication gap between them and Jesus. They did not fully understand what was happening and where they were heading. Well, in our times, this is not very surprising. Communication can be a real problem. For instance, some time ago in a marriage counseling session, psychologists tried to identify a woman's marriage problems by asking her some direct questions. "Now, do you have any grounds?" She replied, "Why, yes, we do. We have about 10 acres north of town." "No, ma'am," he said, "that's not what I meant. What I mean is, do you have a grudge?" "Oh, no," she responded, "but we do have a nice little carport." "No," he said, "what I mean is, does your husband beat you up?"
"Beat me up?
Oh, no. I get up before he does, just about every morning." In complete exasperation, he finally said, "You know what? You're not listening to me. Why are you having trouble with your husband?" "Well," she said, "the man just doesn't know how to communicate." So also in Jesus' time, there were many miscommunications. And obviously there were even lapses in communication between Jesus and his very own disciples. So just listen to the unusual request coming from James and John. "Arrange it," they said, "so that we will be awarded the highest places of honor in your glory. One of us at your right and the other at your left." Almost unbelievable. What? fast as possible. They've heard the teaching of Jesus on the importance of being humble like servants, that the last should be the first. They've heard his parables of compassion, of not needing to be the greatest. Nevertheless, they still did not understand. And while Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and the shadow of the cross was already falling over him, guess what? The disciples were competing to get the best and to share in God's glory and power. So they were demanding the highest places of honor. Now, before we judge them too harshly, let us remember that we are often very much like them. Sadly, there are still many James and Johns amongst the followers of Jesus Christ. They do not want to follow, they prefer to be followed and insist on being followed. They will serve only if they can be in charge or if they can have their say. They want everyone to be reasonable and do it their way. They will smile if you smile first. And they will only serve if they can give the instructions. And they will tell you that it is all a rat race and that the rats are actually winning. And so they do not mind being the rats themselves. They want the glory and not the risk of taking the cross and following Jesus. So they actually looked Jesus in the eyes and demanded, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Amazing the response of Jesus. He did respond to their request, and therein is a surprise. He actually encouraged his followers to compete for glory. However, the answer is not what James and John had hoped for. Jesus is different, and he demanded that his followers be different. Oh yes, it's okay to compete for glory, but the rules of Jesus are different and directly opposite from the ways of the world. Jesus said, "Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be a slave of all." Now it becomes a bit clearer. Thus the secret to win the competition to become the greatest is a secret no longer. If you want to be great, then be willing and ready to serve others as Jesus did. Actually, he was already underway to Jerusalem, where he would suffer greatly, while James and John were competing for glory without even noticing that the greatest, the humblest of them, was already in their midst, right beside them. James, John, here's the test. If you want to be truly great, just follow me. So the competition to be the greatest is in reality a competition to be the least of all. I love to tell a story about a certain monk in olden times who once found a precious stone, and he always carried that stone with him. And in language of our time, that would be a huge diamond or similar. So one day he met a traveler who was tired and hungry and thirsty, and therefore the monk opened his bag to share his provisions with the traveler. And it was then that the traveler noticed and saw the jewel. And filled with desire, he could not resist, and he asked the monk, "Would you give me that jewel?" To his surprise and utter joy, the monk immediately did so and passed him the jewel. So he took the jewel and placed it in his traveling bag, and the traveler continued his journey. Overjoyed with the unexpected gift of the precious stone. And maybe, just maybe, in the story, he might have thought, this monk isn't very wise. He didn't really realize the value of the stone. Time moved on, and a few days later, he came back once again in search of the monk. And when he found him, he dug into his traveling bag and gave him back the stone, and he said, "You know what? There is something that I need far more than this precious stone. I've discovered there is something even more precious than this jewel that you so willingly gave me." And then he continued, looking the monk straight in the eyes, "Please give me something much more precious than this very stone." So the monk asked, "What do you need, my friend? Please, please give me that same ability which enabled you to give me the precious stone." Makes a lot of sense. He saw beyond riches. He saw deeper than glory. "I'd rather have Jesus," we used to sing as children and still do. "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today." This brought me to a question, a very personal question. Things are changing. If you study theology nowadays, it's getting very confusing at times. There are new lines of thinking, new revelations that people claim, and it's not always easy to stand in a pulpit amidst changing times. Messages that went down very well just a decade ago have difficulty to be understood in the changing times that we're in. So maybe from time to time, like now, we need to evaluate deep within ourselves who we really are, what we believe, and what keeps us going, what faith encourages and strengthens us as we walk the highways and byways of life in the year 2012. Demanding us, in the quiet even of this morning, to think, and maybe to conclude, as so many others did, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Are we still willing to give, even today? God, let it be. Let it be. Amen.